Matthew chapter 7. We come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus confronts his audience with a radical choice. Jesus leaves his listeners with just two choices. Choice number one, choice number two. Real easy. A or B, this or that. So let's read the Word of God together, and then we'll look at this passage. So let's begin in Matthew 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Lord, I pray that you would bless our Bible study and our Bible meditation this evening. Just help us to understand the importance of what Jesus is saying here. And may we all become those who build our lives on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray, amen. So in verse 21, Jesus is talking about those who have a good profession. Good talk. In fact, John Stott in his commentary entitles that verse, The Danger of a Merely Verbal Profession. And they talked a good talk. They called Jesus, Lord, Lord! And they claimed to do all kinds of things in the name of Jesus. So they seemed to have a good confession. They seemed to say with the mouth things that sounded right, good orthodoxy. But then in verse 23, we read where Jesus says, Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, depart from me, you who are rebels at heart. While having a good profession is important, we need to confess and profess Jesus. We should be those who profess our faith in God and our faith in Jesus Christ. Profession is important. Somehow we have to back up what we profess to believe with our actions. That's why the New Testament places a great deal of emphasis on our works, not as a means of salvation, but our works are merely an expression of our faith in God and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, what brought great joy and delight to Jesus was doing the will of God the Father. And when we do the will of God the Father, Jesus is happy as well. And God is happy too. That's how Jesus honors his Father, by doing his will. That's how we honor God. That's how we honor Jesus, by doing Jesus' will. And then we come to verse 24. So now we have a people who, they hear, or they heard everything Jesus said. They heard every word of it. They heard it loud and clear. But Jesus talks about some people who hear and go out and do it. They actually build their life on Jesus. Then Jesus spoke of other people who hear. They heard everything the other group heard. They hear. But they don't do anything. It just, well, the old saying goes, you know, goes in one ear and goes out the other. Nothing registers. Nothing happens. And so that's the radical choice. You can hear what Jesus says, and you can go build your life. You can develop your life and you can build your life. You can develop your future and everything you're doing on the teachings of Jesus. Or you can just ignore everything that Jesus says and just let it go by and do nothing about it. And what those people end up doing is they're actually building their life on themselves. What they think is right, what they think is proper. They're building their life on society's values, society's beliefs. People can keep doing that. Or you can build your life on Jesus Christ. Now, before we look further at the example given by Jesus about the two houses that are being built, let's just stop and consider for a moment the two choices that we're presented with. And I think back in Psalm 1, Psalm 1 is a good example of the two roads that lay before people. The two choices. Remember back in Psalm 1, if you want to turn there, feel free to. You don't need to, but if you'd like to, go ahead. Back in Psalm 1, the psalmist is speaking about two paths that lie before people. Two paths you can choose. And the psalm writer says there, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of what? The ungodly, nor stands in the pathway of sinners, nor sits in the seat of those who are scornful." In other words, he doesn't sit in the seat of those who scorn and mock God and mock God's will and God's ways and God's commandments. Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in God's law he meditates day and night. And that person, well, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Why? Because he's building his life on God. He's delighting in God. He's studying God's law, reading God's word. He's seeking God with all his heart. And that stands in contrast to all these other people mentioned in verse 1, that they walk in the counsel of the, in other words, they accept the advice of ungodly people who have no regard for God. And they stand in the path, the course that sinners run in as they run away from God. And there's those people who just all they do is mock and scorn and scoff God. On the other hand, there's those who delight in the law of God because they delight in God. So you see, this Psalm 1 is like two pathways that lie. You can choose this path or that path. And two ways of life are being contrasted, just as Jesus does at the end of the Sermon on the Mount when he talks about those who hear the teachings of Jesus and do it versus those who hear the teachings of Jesus and don't do a thing. Two ways, two lifestyles, two paths. And notice here in this chapter, Psalm 1, one group is successful. One group prospers. The other group falls apart and they suffer great loss. Just like at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. There's the man who built his house on the rock and all those trials and troubles came and what? The house stood. And there was the man who built his house on the sand and guess what? When trial and tragedy and troubles and hard times came, they just completely fell apart. It seems like it's the same thing here in Psalm 1. Notice, if you will, verse 4. "So the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away." And that's a reference to threshing the wheat. They throw the grain up in the air so the light wind blows away the stalk and the heavier grain just settles to the ground. That way you'd separate the stalk and the chaff from the grain. So the ungodly, they're not going to prosper. They're not going to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that are prosperous at all times. No, they're going to suffer loss. The wind's going to just drive them away. Verse 5, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment." Well, they're not going to stand against the judgment of God when that comes. "Nor sinners. They're not going to stand in the congregation of the righteous." They're not going to stand against the congregation of the righteous because God is with the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous." God respects the way of the righteous. God delights in the way of the righteous. And God's blessing is on the way of the righteous. But according to verse 6, "The way of the ungodly shall perish." They're going to be like that house built on the sand that comes to sudden ruin. Now, if you will, we'll just look at a few other passages and we'll come back to the Sermon on the Mount. Keep your finger in Matthew 7, if you will. But just look at what Jesus says in John 14. If you will, John 14. John 14 and verse 6. No, excuse me, verse 15 rather. 15. So the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. Real simple verse, real straightforward. Jesus simply says to his disciples, "If you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments." And as Jesus has just given this great sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, and all this teaching he has just given, it's like Jesus is saying to his audience as well, "If you love me, pay attention to what I've just said. Do what I've just said. Build your life on me, and you'll be glad you did." And then if you will, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So go past all the letters of the Apostle Paul, go past Hebrews, and then we come to James. James 1. James is the brother of Jesus, or I suppose we want to be a little more accurate and technical, you might say he's a stepbrother of Jesus. He was one born from Mary as well. And James says something very similar to what Jesus said back in Matthew 7. Notice James chapter 1, verse 22. James says, But be doers of the word, and not hearers only. In other words, don't just listen to the word and hear it, but we have to do it. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. So a person looks at himself in the mirror, just looks, goes away, can't remember for the life of him what he looks like. That's what, it almost sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But that's what it's like when you just read the word or hear the word, but you don't let it affect your life, or you don't let it make any changes in your life. You don't let it impact you or make any difference in the way you live. Notice verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, he who looks into God's word and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And then if you will notice, we'll go to John, 1 John chapter 1, if you will. 1 John chapter 1. Just go past 1 and 2 Peter, we come to 1 John. And what I notice about what John is saying here, he has this little phrase, if we say something, well, where's the proof in what we say? It's easy to say things. We all know talk is cheap. Notice chapter 1, verse 6, if you will. Chapter 1, verse 6 of 1 John. If we say that we have fellowship with God, and we walk in darkness, and we lie and do not practice the truth, but then if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So, the proof of our words is going to be in our actions. Notice, if you will, chapter 2, verse 4. He who says, I know God, and does not keep his commandments, is what? Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's because our faith is shown, or our faith is demonstrated, by our actions. And then if you will, notice one more verse here. Notice verse 9. He who says, see there's talk again. Talk can be cheap. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. So we're just mindful from these passages we've read that the proof of the pudding is in the eating, as they say. So the proof of our faith is in our actions. Now, if you will, let's go back to Matthew 7 for a moment. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24. And just try to look at the analogy and the illustration that Jesus gives. So in Matthew 7, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, in other words, whoever hears the message of Jesus and realizes, boy, this is an important message. This message is coming from God through Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah teaching. And this is something we need to do. It's important. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So the rain comes, the rain beats on top of the roof, the winds blow against the walls, the floodwaters rise and engulf and encompass the foundation of the house. Well, that's a pretty serious situation. You got the rain beating down. You got the winds blowing from all sides. You got the floodwaters rising up. You know, that sounds like a natural disaster to me. And then what does the text say? And the house, it didn't fall. It was strong. It was safe. It was secure. It withstood all of this turmoil and all of this trouble. It withstood the pressures of the wind and the rain and the floodwaters. And there it was, still standing. For it was founded, it was grounded, it was resting on Jesus and Jesus' teachings and Jesus' sayings. And this person was obedient to the will of God. They heard the message. Now, did they obey God perfectly? No, none of us do. We're still sinners. We won't be perfected till Jesus comes. But this person was really taking God's word seriously and building his life, developing his life on Jesus Christ and what Jesus says. By the way, I learned from all of this, it's good for us to build our lives on Jesus. Things will go a lot better for us if we build our lives on Jesus than if we don't build our lives on Jesus. So Jesus is telling us here in these words, if you want God's blessing, if you want things to go well for you, if you want to endure and last and persevere, even in troublesome, tumultuous times, build your life on Him. You won't go wrong, and you can't go wrong. Well, then there's that other fellow. Well, whoever hears these sayings of mine and just doesn't do them, just disregards, oh, they're not important. Eh, I don't think that's right. And oh, I can live a good life the way I choose and the way I please. And I'm sure things will go well for me. I've got life all figured out, and I can carve and shape my own destiny. I can be the master and steer my own ship. I'll make it just fine. Well, this man is called foolish. In fact, if my memory serves me right, in the original language of the Greek text, it's the English word from which we get moron. This person, you know, it's a moron. I mean, they're just not thinking. Talk about being dumb. They're a moron. And he built his house on the sand. I mean, who builds their house on the sand? Built his house in sand. That's what it's like when you don't build your life on Jesus Christ. It's like building your life on sand. And the sand, you know, when you get out of the Cape, you notice, maybe even from year to year, some of the sandbars shift and change depending on how many storms we've had during the winter. The sands can easily move based on the kinds of storms that come and go on the beach. And he built his life. He developed his life on the sand of human opinion. The sand on society's values. And the rains came, they beat on the roof, the winds came, beat on the sides of the house, the floodwaters came up. And what does the text say? It fell. In fact, the text doesn't say not only did it fall, but it says, and great was its fall. Great and sudden and catastrophic was the collapse of that property. And that's what will happen to human life when they don't build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus ends with this, you might say, this radical choice, confronting his audience. Hear my words and build your life on me, or hear my words and ignore everything I've said and think you know what's best because you're wise in your own eyes. And guess what? You can build all you want on your own life, in your own wisdom, but it's all going to collapse someday because you didn't build on Jesus Christ. So in thinking about the Sermon on the Mount, well, we can live according to Jesus' instructions, and we can be poor in spirit like Jesus says. We can humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and realize we're utterly dependent upon God. Or we can arrogantly and defiantly live against God. We can mourn over our sins and over the sins of society and mourn over human suffering, or we can be uncaring and indifferent to the human condition. We can be meek, we can be gentle, or we can be people of violence who take things by force. We can hunger and thirst for righteousness, or we can be those who have no regard for what God wants. We can be merciful and compassionate, and we can be forgiving, or we can be hard and harsh and unyielding and unreasonable. We can be pure in heart and have concern for what pleases God, or we can have affections that ultimately result in evil, affections that are lustful, hateful, and deceitful. We can be peacemakers or those who cause strife and unrest. We can be salt and light in the world and have a preservative and illuminating effect, or we can choose not to be. We can love our enemies and not seek any revenge or retaliation, or we can be like most other people who only love those who do good to them and are nice to them. We can lay up treasures on earth, or we can lay up treasures in heaven. We can be a slave to God or a slave to money and material goods. We can go through life worrying about having necessary provisions and make this a priority as the Gentiles do, or we can seek first God and His kingdom and His righteous requirements. We can enter by the narrow gate and go in the way that's difficult, or we can enter by the wide gate, go down the path that's easy and carefree, where the masses are going. You see all these choices that Jesus presents to us in the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, is just making all of these different contrasts about different kinds of lifestyles. So in the end, we're called to hear Jesus and His words, and we're not just invited to do them, we're commanded to do them. You know why we're commanded to do them? Because Jesus loves us. And if we build our lives in the solid rock of Jesus Christ, Jesus will love us, He will bless us, things will go better for us than if we didn't. Now that doesn't mean we're not going to have troubles and trials. Keep in mind now, the man who built his house on that rock, guess what? The rains came, the winds beat, the floodwaters rose up. We're not going to have necessarily an easy, carefree life without troubles and trials, you can be sure of that. But we will be able to withstand them because we're building our life on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Just the very fact that God sent Jesus into this world is an act of God's love. The fact that Jesus taught us all these things is an act of love. And the fact that Jesus commands us to build His life on Himself is a command to enjoy the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He really does care about me, and He really cares about you. So let's make sure we're building our lives, and let's go forward. Maybe you've been saved for many years. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years, but let's go forward and let's continue building our lives on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, knowing that this is the right thing to do. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that You would bless this meditation this evening. Lord, we thank You that You love us and You care about us. And Lord, we thank You. We thank You that we have the privilege, we have the opportunity to build our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ, not only on His sacrificial death and His love and His forgiveness as He extended to us, but we have the opportunity to build our lives in what He taught us to do, how He taught us to live. And Lord, we just ask for Your grace. Help us to live this way. It's not within our nature to live this way. It goes contrary to human opinion and what's natural for us, Lord. So help us to lay aside our preconceived ideas of what's right and wrong. And Lord, help us just to pursue Your will and Your agenda for our lives. And we know in the end we'll be all the happier for it. And we'll be glad we did. We'll have peace knowing that we're going in Your ways. Lord, bless each one that is here this evening. Bless the food that we're about to have, Lord. Use this food to nourish our bodies. And for all the good things You give us, Lord, we praise You from the bottom of our heart. Dismiss us later with Your blessing, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn tonight, and it's none other than hymn number 423, entitled The Solid Rock, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Hymn number 423, let's stand as we sing, and we'll sing the first and the last stanza, the first and last, 423. 423.